What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
In July 2014, New Zealand granted legal personality to Te Uruwera National Park, settling an ongoing argument between the Tangata Whenua and the Crown. In doing so, it made Te Uruwera a freehold land above ownership. In March 2017, the Whanganui River was given a similar status, and soon Mount Taranaki will be its own person legally speaking. In doing so, Aotearoa New Zealand has shown there is an alternative to the Western vision of ownership over the natural world. This redefinition of legal personhood has attracted attention throughout the world, from media to Indigenous leaders and environmental activists, and thus paved the way for new regulations across the globe. To better understand how important these decisions have been, I spoke to Jacinta Ruru, Professor of Law at the University of Otago and Co-Director of Ngāi Pai o Te Maramatanga, New Zealand's Māori Centre of Research Excellence. Professor Ruru's work particularly focuses on Indigenous peoples' rights to manage and govern land, and she has abundantly commented on the settlements. I started by asking her to bring us back to the origins of the concept of land as a legal entity.
So legal personality, I think, is a really amazing concept. And from a kind of a Western perspective, legal personality perhaps has its origins back in the United States with this Professor Christopher Stone, a law professor in the 1970s. He wrote this book, Should Trees Have Standing? And so he's asking us to consider whether the trees, the water, the mountains, the forests, whether they should be able to have legal representation in the court, so whether they should have standing. And so that whole sort of concept there of the environment having personality like we do as natural persons, as people, we have rights and obligations, and whether those same responsibilities and rights can also lie and be part of the environment around us. So from a Western perspective, I think it's a really neat concept that has grown within an environmental context. But from an Indigenous perspective, including from a Māori perspective, the lands around us have always had personality. So from an Indigenous perspective, the lands and the waters are seen as one with us as human beings and are seen as who we are and where we come from. And so from an Indigenous perspective, including from a Māori perspective, the mountains, the waters are often referred to and are known as ancestors of us. And so I see the whole legal personality concept as a really amazing bridge between that Indigenous worldview and the Western environmental rights movement.
And so in New Zealand, Te Uruwera National Park and the Whanganui River and soon Mount Taranaki have been granted that legal personality. What does it mean exactly, I suppose, technically speaking?
It means in law that we have a really large forest in the North Island and we have our third longest river in the country, the Whanganui River, as being recognised in law as being a legal entity in and of its own self, and so having rights and responsibilities, duties and obligations as a person has, so likened to a person. So really powerful notion has been created in law for those three landmarks.
And I was wondering whether you think this model could be expanded to other places in New Zealand, other national parks, other landmarks?
I think it's got huge potential for us as a country. I think it's a really neat win-win for us all. I think it enables us as New Zealanders to better know and to better and be part of and to understand why the surrounding land that we all love, but why it is also important to the particular Māori iwi whānau hapū of that area. So I see the whole legal personality notion as something that better enhances our own enjoyment of the lands across New Zealand. And I do see that for us as New Zealanders, there's a huge potential to create this bridge into the Māori worldview to better understand how they already see the land alive in many ways. And so this is a really neat technique or a neat tool to be able to look into this. I think it is important to know that within the New Zealand context, the negotiations around creating the legal entity of Te Uruwera, the Whanganui River, and soon Mount Taranaki are very much being born from a Treaty of Waitangi claim settlement negotiation context. So it's not that it's not that we have simply as a country decided this in the context of a rights of nature kind of context. It's very much a Treaty of Waitangi settlement process.
Which leads me to my next question, which is that recently in Colombia, so I think 2016, if I'm not mistaken, the Atrato River has been given legal personality as well, and it was sort of based on the precedent set by New Zealand with the Whanganui River, and so its interests are represented by a board from that has both people from the state and indigenous people of this land. And I'm wondering whether a similar system could be applied to other countries that have indigenous people. I'm thinking of Australia, where there's, you know, uranium mining on Aboriginal lands, and it's quite a big issue. Or in the United States, we've had this recent case with the Dakota Access Pipeline, and we show it showed that First Nations people of the Great Turtle Island actually stood up against corporation exploiting their land. In countries like this, could we have a similar thing happen?
I absolutely think so, and I know that there's an enormous amount of interest in many other countries on what has happened here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And so there are a number of government officials and Indigenous representatives who have travelled and been hosted here in Aotearoa, New Zealand over the last few years to better understand what it is that we're trying to create here in this country. So there's a huge amount of interest in what's happened here. You know, the models that we've developed here have been, you know, in the New York Times and the Guardian, and so a huge amount of really great media interest in what we're doing. I think, and I think to answer your question there around whether this model has an opportunity to make sense in other countries, yes, absolutely. And I think where it has been developed in association with the Indigenous peoples of that country, I think it's going to create something really powerful for the nation to be able to develop this. There are instances where the legal personality concept and recognising from a Western context, it was born from that environmental rights nature, So there are certainly environmental groups who are really keen to see the possibility of legal personality extending and being used as a way to create or to help enhance environmental protection. And I think that's great, but I just try to caution that I wouldn't like to see the legal personality applying over a landscape without that Indigenous involvement in it, and to caution her against that.
Because I was reading a little bit of criticism as well, where some people were wondering what would stop us from granting legal personality to just about anything that is inanimated, and saying, oh, you know, you can't consider a river as a person, because then, you know, like, what stops you from saying that whatever rock on the floor is its own legal person and stuff like that. So that is a criticism that has emerged, I suppose. But is it because if you sort of like remove it from its, if you remove the meaning behind it, it doesn't, I don't know, it kind of open Pandora's box, or?
I absolutely agree. And I think because the legal personality does create that bridge into the Indigenous worldview, and the Indigenous worldview is what creates that concrete making sense of it, I suppose. So even, you know, from the Māori perspective, not all mountains or rivers are ancestors or are regarded as what we'd say a tupuna mountain. And so it's about really recognising where this is going to make the most sense and where it's going to work, and to understand why, as a country, we would want to do this and what is the ramifications for us as a country to better understand what legal personality is going to mean in a particular context.
But it has definitely become a good tool, I suppose, for environmental activists. And to a certain extent, I mean, I suppose with whether it's the Whanganui River or Mount Taranaki or Te Uruwera National Park, it's also, yes, it is, those are lands that are above ownership, but it's also, the board can also use that legal personality to make sure that there isn't corporate greed involved, or that there isn't like environmentally dangerous things happening to said landmarks and or parks or mountains.
Yeah, so I think that's absolutely true, maybe in the context more internationally, and perhaps it's true when we think about it in the context of the Whanganui River, although it is a river that has been partly bordered by one of our national parks. But if we just skip to Te Uruwera and Taranaki, they are both areas that have been encased within our national park legislation, which is our highest level of environmental protection available in this country. So in terms of utilising legal personality, for example, in the Te Uruwera space, is not going to stop.
Yeah. It doesn't really change anything, you mean, in terms of like protecting it from an environmental point of view?
No, it doesn't. But then again, it does change everything. In terms of Te Uruwera with the management plan there, really encourage listeners to have an opportunity to read that. I think the management plan, which is not described as a management plan, but Te Kawa o Te Uruwera, so the rules of Te Uruwera, I think is some of the most innovative writing in the English language ever. It's most incredible. And for example, you know, it begins that in that document, you know, that we're deliberatively, you know, resetting our human relationships with the land, and, you know, we're wishing, you know, for its return. And so it's a sort of a plan or an aspiration or a vision for Te Uruwera that has turned on its head our conservation management practices. So our conservation management practices are about managing the land, whereas Te Uruwera now has a whole vision about managing the people, so as the land can, you know, thrive and flourish and so on. And so just even that little mindset change is quite exciting.
I see what you mean. It's the result will actually be different as well, but it's it used to be protected, it'd still be protected, it's just the vision that you have for it is quite different.
Yes, the vision is now different, and I think it's a vision that is more respectful, more reconciled, more appreciative of the deep, long history of the place, and I think that's really exciting.
So that brings me to what is currently my last question, which is that it's been about 10 years now since we started seeing drafts of legislation granting land a legal personality, whether it was for environmental reasons or as a recognition of Indigenous people vision of what land should be treated as and managed, I suppose. And in New Zealand, it's been 4 years, I believe. What do you think the future holds for Aotearoa New Zealand or for the rest of the world in terms of, legal personality?
I think legal personality offers us an enormous opportunity as a country, and I really hope that we have the confidence and the vision as a country to think more deeply about how legal personality might be able to be used further across the country, if that is what iwi whānau and hapū wish for, if they see real benefit in this legal personality notion. I think we should seriously be engaging in that, and that will help us to better understand the history of this place and the opportunities of these lands going forward.
Because the move has to come from the iwi.
I believe so, absolutely.
So you wouldn't, I don't even know if the government would do it, but it wouldn't be the same if it came from the Crown saying, oh, we want to give this land legal personality. I suppose you'd have to consult with the iwi, obviously.
I think so, because I think to do otherwise is to be repeating practices of colonization, the practices of what we've had over the last 180 years of renaming landscapes, giving landscapes, you know, new names associated back often with England, with the UK, and creating a whole history around that. And if we continue to replicate that sort of colonial practice of only giving a Western or a Pākehā perspective of the land, I think we are losing out by not also creating that space to better understand the land from a Māori perspective.
Worry Week on The Wire.